This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, June 1st. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. PFAS pesticide bill gets watered down. Farm worker wage bill passes assembly. And voters go to the polls in a half dozen states. A bill to restrict PFAS pesticides moved out of the assembly last week after its author promised major amendments to address concerns from agriculture. AB 1603 by Assembly Member Nick Schultz of Burbank would have phased out certain PFAS pesticides in 2030 and the remaining PFAS pesticides in 2035. But Schultz told lawmakers he would amend the bill in the Senate to remove those bans, saying it would no longer ban any PFAS pesticides used by the state of California today. Instead, the amended measure would bar state approvals of new PFAS pesticides starting in January while allowing DPR to continue processing applications already in hand. It would also designate all PFAS pesticides as restricted materials beginning in 2028, requiring public disclosure and county agriculture commission plant permits. For supporters, they say the bill is needed to protect drinking water, farm workers, and consumers. Assembly member Diane Pappin of San Mateo said agriculture raised, quote, very fair concerns about timelines, but argues reducing PFAS at the source could limit costly water treatment. Assembly member Rick Chavez-Burr of Hollywood calls it the most important environmental bill before the assembly this year, citing family experiences with agriculture water contamination. Assembly member Dashana Patel of San Diego supports moving the bill forward, saying the amendments provide researchers time to develop safer alternatives. Ag Chair Esmeralda Soria of Merced and other skeptics warn about treating all PFAS alike. GOP Assembly Member Stan Ellis of Bakersfield said some PFAS compounds act as surfactants and are not inherently hazardous, and urges lawmakers to focus on science and distinguish between the pesticide and PFAS component. Fellow Republican Assembly Member Carl DeMeo of San Diego said the bill could have a significant negative impacts on agriculture. California Assembly members clashed over farm worker wages during a floor debate on AB 2646 last week. The bill by Assembly Member Maggie Krell of Sacramento would set a $19.75 an hour minimum wage floor for agricultural employees. Krell frames the measure as a modest response to deteriorating conditions for farm workers, arguing the workers behind California's agricultural economy face low pay, immigration raids, family separations, extreme heat, bad air quality, and workplace abuse. She says the bill would, quote, restore a wage floor, not create a premium wage, and notes that some growers have said they already pay more than $19.75 an hour. Democrats describe the bill as a matter of fairness and dignity. Assemblymember Juan Carrillo of Parmondale says farm workers remain among the state's lowest paid workers despite doing essential labor. He argues the bill follows a simple principle of equal pay for equal work. Assemblymember Joaquin Aramila of Fresno says the state should avoid a race to the bottom and ensure workers doing hard labor receive at least the minimum wage. But GOP Assemblymember Alexandra Macedo of Tulare warns the higher labor costs could accelerate mechanization and reduce farm worker jobs, citing studies showing ag overtime rules have reduced weekly hours and earnings for crop workers. She says the state must consider long-term effects on agriculture and employment. The assembly passed the measure along party lines, advancing it to Senate policy committees. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. Join us at the AgriPulse Ag and Food Issues Summit West. How can California agriculture remain an economic powerhouse as rising costs, labor challenges, shifting demand, and political uncertainty reshape the industry? The answers matter more than ever. On June 2nd in Sacramento, hear from policymakers, innovators, and industry leaders tackling the biggest issues from trade and market outlooks to workforce challenges and the next generation of growers. Get the insights shaping what's next. See the latest information and register today at AgriPulse.com under the Events tab. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. The week ahead will be filled with primary elections in key states and events on Capitol Hill. That includes an appearance by Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins. She testifies before the House Ag Committee on Thursday. Before that, Republicans and Democrats will go to the polls tomorrow in California, Iowa, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota. Iowa Republican Randy Feenstra got a full-throated endorsement from President Donald Trump on Friday. It may not help him over the hump. Matthew Klein, an analyst at the nonpartisan Cook Political Report, which rates the Iowa governor's race in November a toss-up, says Trump's 11th-hour backing doesn't guarantee a Feenstra win. Feenstra has clearly struggled to generate enthusiasm among the GOP populist right, which remains frustrated by his decision to skip local events and distrustful of his establishment ties in Washington, Klein said. A recent poll shows Feenstra neck and neck in the Republican primary with Zach Lahn. In California's jungle primary, where the top two vote-getters advance, Republican and Democratic candidates are locked in a tight race that could see Democrats shut out of the general election. Also coming tomorrow, it's the AgriPulse Food and Ag Issues Summit in Sacramento. Government and industry leaders will discuss water, politics, MAHA, data centers, and much more. Rural electric cooperatives should be allowed to address proposals for data centers in the areas they serve on a case-by-case basis. That the word of the head of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association, Jim Matheson. We want every co-op to be able to make their own decisions about what makes sense for them, he says on this week's open mic. Matheson notes that data centers' need for power around the clock can benefit utilities. He said, quote, on one level, the utilities say, hey, if someone wants to take my power when I'm not selling, otherwise, that's good news. The problem is, what do you do during the on-peak times when everyone wants their electricity as well, including the data center? Local siting issues, he said, are also a concern. You can hear the latest edition of AgriPulse Open Mic at AgriPulse.com. Well, here on a Monday, it's the final word. I wouldn't build a house out of cane berries. That Michael Kahn, a UC Cooperative Extension Farm Advisor in the Penultimate meeting for the State Water Board expert panel examining nitrogen runoff on farms. Kahn explained that while caneberry canes are not woody like almond trees or grapevines, the crop still locks up nitrogen in the plant structure, adding yet another technical hurdle for the panel to account for in crafting its final recommendations next week. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, June 1st. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chop Alley.